Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Antonio Brown, Rob, we can't get away from him as the lead story in the NFL. And first, we do have to give a few props. I know Rob G wishes he was here to hear this because he's a huge Oakland Raiders fan. But they looked good last night. I know Denver isn't a team of world beaters.
No, and you still have to win who's on the schedule. Right. I'm not knocking it, but I'd have to see more before I'm really buying into the Raiders. But yes, they did look good, and they got a big win.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to have a tough road ahead of them to make the playoffs, and that's obviously the goal. But they looked good last night. The rookie Josh Jacobs ran the ball, dare I say, like Marshawn Lynch at times. I mean, he was carrying defenders, you know, running over guys. He really looked good. And the receiver Terrell Williams filled in kind of as their number one guy now. That Antonio Brown isn't there, and he looked great. So, you know, and Derek Carr has had some good years as a quarterback, so he's capable, at least we think. So they look good, and I think, Rob, they may be playing with a chip on their shoulder. They should be after essentially, I know Antonio wasn't there a lot, and I'm sure the guys didn't get attached to him, but clearly he didn't want to be there. And I don't think the players were the main reason. Obviously, he had issues with Mike Mayock, the general manager, and maybe some other issues. But as a player, I would take that personally. I would take it like he didn't want to be here. He didn't think we were good enough. Even if I had to just tell myself that and go out there and play with a chip on your shoulder and look at it like, you know, nobody believes in you starting with Antonio Brown. Not that he has to be an enemy. But go out there and use it to your advantage.
Yeah, I just don't look at it that way. You know, once they took away the guarantees of the money, then that's why he didn't want to play. They had nothing to do with the players.
He didn't get a ton of money from New England.
Well, he got $9 million.
He got the base year salary.
No, but he got $9 million was a signing bonus. I mean, that was more than he was going to get. It was a week-to-week contract with Oakland. I'm just saying, if I'm a player, I get that. I wouldn't want to play for that. Who would want to play for no guaranteed money in a week-to-week thing? So I don't think that they would look at it that way. But all they had some – Chris, the thing that I was interested in was they all addressed it. They didn't run from it. And they said nice things about him. That's all they did.
What you think they were going to say?
No, I'm just saying that's the best thing to do. They did the right thing. Stay above board. Wish the guy all the best and move on. And that's what they did. I was glad to see how well they did.
No, they said what you would expect them to say. I think Derek Carr means it. Does Gruden mean it? I don't know. I'm not mad at him if he doesn't. I think he probably doesn't. It made him look bad.
No, it's an embarrassment for him. I don't disagree with you.
But he did the right thing by taking the high road.
His tenure has been embarrassing. You can say whatever you want. Am I right? It's been embarrassing.
No ifs, ands, or buts. Look. You give up two model citizens who happen to be great players,
right?
Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, and you bring in, yes, a great player, but a guy who's a headache, and ultimately it doesn't work out.
And it blew up in your face.
Not even through training camp.
Right, it blew up. Right.
And so you're right. It looked bad for him, but he did take the high road. Now, of course, Antonio's on to New England, and a lot of people are excited to either they think it's going to work and they're going to be great, or they're excited to just see what happens here. And Bill Belichick and Tom Brady finally addressed it. Here's what Belichick said.
Take it day by day. We haven't practiced yet. And so we're going through information with him like we would with any new player. Get out on the practice field and after Wednesday, talk about Thursday and just go through the week. So see how it goes. That's the same thing you said about Randy Moss when we brought him in.
Let's hear Tom Brady. He spoke as well.
I'm not judging anything before, you know, I've had a chance to go out and practice and prepare. And I've had so many great teammates over the years. And, you know, Antonio, meeting him today, and I really enjoyed being around him. He's very a very smart football player, knows how to play the game. He's been extremely productive. And the only thing that I know what we can do is to go out there and work at it and to meet and to communicate and to get on the practice field and go through things.
All right, Rob, your thoughts?
I think he handled it the right way. He doesn't have to gush and go crazy. I don't think he wanted to put all of his eggs in the, AB is the greatest of all time, and I just love this guy, and blah, blah, blah. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if he's going to, what switch he's going to be on. But I think Tom Brady, for one, normally with the, I'm always got an issue with the, aw shucks and gee whiz and all that.
That's what this was.
But in this case, that's what he should have been. I think this is really what it should have been, Chris, because you don't want to stake your reputation and everything by telling everybody, oh, I got this, this is different. Because everybody who's gone to New England hasn't worked out. So I'm not
like to point that out.
Well, but it's just true. I think everybody says that, oh, once you go to New England, it's got Tom Brady and those guys are going to get you to fall in line. It doesn't always work. So all I'm saying here is I think Tom Brady and for all the people who say I hate Tom Brady handled it right. He did the right thing. He said the right thing.
Well, he wasn't the only quarterback who had something to say about it. Believe it or not, Brett Favre, all the way from is he in Mississippi?
Is he becoming an analyst now? I mean,
he's
remember?
All over the place. Commercials. I saw him throwing the ball with Pat Mahomes the other day on TV. So let's hear from
Brett. Guess
maybe
better,
he's planning a comeback.
I guess it's better than flashing pictures of coworkers. So
look
I
at
think
you.
That's,
look at you.
If let's anyone is equipped to bring in a player in a similar situation as Antonio Brown and make it work, it's the New England Patriots. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you watched the game the other night, they don't need him. In fact, I think it almost creates a problem by trying to figure out how to keep him happy and playing and quiet.
Well, I disagree with Brett Favre saying they don't need him. They don't need him to be very good and a Super Bowl contender, but they're clearly better with him. And I think to be the Super Bowl favorite, which I have them as now, they do need him. I think Kansas City's the favorite as long as Antonio Brown is not there. But I do agree with Favre, and I think it plays into what Brady and Belichick said. I agree with you, Rob, what you said about them and not gushing over him.
Right.
But I think it was a little different. I think it's just a precursor to how he's going to be treated. They talked about him like he was a good, solid player. Nothing special, no superstar, and they didn't just say he's not anything special, of course, but they talked about him like you talk about any starting caliber player that joins your team. And Brett Favre takes it a step further and says they don't even need him. They got a bunch of other great receivers or good receivers without him. And I think that is the question mark. Will Antonio Brown be able to behave? Will he be able to be at his best? Will he be happy and, you know, well-adjusted if he's not the show? And there will be games, of course, when he's the show. But he probably won't be the show every week. He averaged over those 6 years where he, you know, got over 1,000 yards receiving every year, first receiver in NFL history to do it. He averaged 170 targets a year. What happens the Sunday when he only gets 3 targets?
Well, I mean that's what happens when you move and you're a part of something different and you leave something where you were the main focal
part. And you go to New England.
Right. Well, just it's something that happens. Randy Moss went there and they found plenty of room for him.
Well, he was the man.
And I'm just saying, but also what you call can become the man. It depends on how they play it, how much he's open, if they're looking at Josh Gordon. I mean, I'm just saying.
Josh Gordon looked very good the other night,
But we don't know yet until he gets out there and what happens and what Tom Brady can see from him. And I want to see some. I just want to see a few games, and then I could kind of get a gauge. But I just don't know what to expect.
Well, I'm expecting him to play well there, and I'm expecting him to behave, at least for this year.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And, no matter how much faith we want to put in Antonio, and that's a scary statement to make, but, you know, none of us can act like there's not a chance this could go south.
Of course it could. But the whole thing is, I think he's got a lot. He's got a lot riding on it. The way that they just gave him the other $20 million, you know, if he, you know, that's like that's an incentive right there, sitting right there for him, Chris. All he has to do is play and do his thing. So that 30 that he lost, he gets it back.
He could get it back.
He could get it back. So it's there on the table for him. And then you got your other situation of, do I want to mess with me in the Hall of Fame? Like, okay, dude, you're en route for a Hall of Fame career.
And you got T.O. in front of you as an example.
Absolutely.
And of somebody that clearly was first ballot.
Exactly. And that's my point is if you go, okay, you had all that little – the bump in the road, and you had a bad ending in Pittsburgh and preseason in Oakland. But if you go and ball out the next couple of years in New England, people aren't talking about that. People are talking the numbers and this guy and how he's done everything. So that's in front of
them. Look at those organizations.
And then
because Pittsburgh, there are other people. Whether you want to point the finger at Tomlin to some degree, certainly Ben Roethlisberger. You know, you will have other people to point the finger at, and then certainly Oakland.
And especially
you can look at Gruden and Mayock, and so it could take a lot of the smoke off of you or the heat off of you.
You're right, Chris, especially say if the Pittsburgh thing collapses, right? And it's bad there, then you go.
And he behaves himself and plays well and maybe win a Super Bowl, yeah.
Then you say they made a mistake. Pittsburgh, it was Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin. They were the issue, and it wasn't him.
Right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We're going to, for the moment, leave the NFL and go to the NBA because the Wall Street Journal magazine did a great story that came out today on Kevin Durant. And they got a lot of good access. It was a really good story, well written, well done. And KD dropped some bombs in there, Rob. And one of the things he said was this that's got getting a lot of attention. He said, some days I hate the circus of the NBA. Some days I hate that the players let the NBA business, the fame that comes with the business, alter their minds about the game. Sometimes I don't like being around the executives and the politics that come with it. I hate that. Rob Parker, what do you think about that comment by Kevin Durant?
I just don't understand it. Kevin Durant is a great basketball player. He's ultra sensitive. He acts like what he's experiencing is something brand new and is I don't understand what you expect, Chris, when you sign a deal for millions of dollars, when your whole existence...
Hundreds of millions.
But your whole existence, Chris, is about fans and people and advertisers and spots. That's what your existence is about. So you can't argue, you can't be mad at it. Go work at the post office. And nobody will be bothering you other than about their mail. You can't have it both ways. You sell sneakers with your name on it. You tweet. You want people to go buy your merchandise. But you can't stand the people? You love basketball. You want to play basketball for millions of dollars. If you only want to play and you don't want to deal with the other stuff, play in a gym by yourself or with your friends. Don't play in a league. Don't play in a crowd, Chris, with 20,000 people in the stands. I don't get it. You can't have it both ways. That's what you signed up for. Hello? Is this on? You know what? You signed up for the circus. They charge money for the circus. Yes.
Rob, I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, seriously. And I'll give KD this. When you're, 18 years old? I guess 19 because he played 1 year at Texas.
Right.
So you're 19 years old. Now, as a kid growing up, you're dreaming of, playing in front of tens of thousands of fans. and dreaming of, you know, even doing an interview right at the end of a game and you hit the game-winning shot.
Yes.
You dream of being on ESPN or Fox or, you know, doing this big interview. So you dream a little bit about the circus. But I understand that a 19-year-old kid doesn't know what he's stepping into. That's what I'll give KD. However, you are right on the money. And it's not just basketball players or athletes. Anyone with a job in the public realm.
Which means Chris Broussard has to do the same exact thing.
Now, we don't
on
get
a smaller
it like,
scale,
yeah, we don't
but
get
still.
It like KD gets it. But I get criticized. You get criticized.
Every day.
Our friend Stephen A. Smith gets criticized. Look at the politicians. No matter how much you like or dislike Donald Trump.
Every day.
He's getting demolished every single day. President Obama got demolished
every day.
Every single day.
They didn't want to believe that he was even born in the country. He had
right.
to prove his where he was born. I mean, stop it.
And it's entertainers. It's lawmakers. Anyone in the public realm. Anyone. Now, Kevin Durant happens to be one of the best five basketball players in the world and one of the best 15 or 20 we've ever seen. And so, yeah, when you're at that ultra elite level, this comes with it. And this is what I say to the athletes, and I've said this to Durant on, you know, putting it out about some of the stuff he said. I put it out on social media. Athletes have to understand. I've actually said this to him in some of our DM conversations
okay,
before.
Because
right?
you don't remember, you don't have his number.
Right. So I couldn't text him, but DM. But if it weren't for the media, then you wouldn't be able to make the tens and hundreds of millions of dollars that you make. Because the media televises your games. The media, with these talk shows on television, on radio, make you larger than life. We talk about these games. We bring the storylines. We bring the drama. To some extent, I'm not diminishing how great the athletes are because we need them. We need them to talk about, to write about, to praise, to detract from, whatever it is. So we need them too. But if they're not on television, if they're not written about in the newspaper, if they're not put on the radio and people aren't talking about them all the time, then guess what? The multi-millions of dollars aren't going to be there for you. And so the athletes need to understand that and really look at it like I'm going to use these guys to benefit myself.
And then the other part too, Chris, we talked about being around the executives and the notion about
the politics.
Politics are in every facet of life
right.
when you
it's
deal with
life.
People. Chris, you notice even in the church, there are
no
politics
doubt.
Because
no doubt.
There are people. It has nothing to do with what job you have. Whenever there are people involved, there are politics at the office. Politics, it just comes with life. I don't know any what job that you worked at. Chris, when you were at Fox, there's politics. When you were at ESPN, there's politics.
Right.
When you worked at the New York Times, there's politics.
When
yes.
you're a beat writer, when you're going
yes.
to these teams trying to get sources and trying to break stories, there's politics.
Right. How come he gave it to him? He
right.
knows this, blah, 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 all that. This is what I'm just, when guys come off with this stuff, I don't get it. It's like they're brand new. I don't get it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, how many people don't like or get nervous or whatever or maybe uncomfortable about talking to some of their supervisors or the executives that are at rank higher than them?
Yes.
You know, in any job.
Any job.
And you know you have to be on your P's and Q's and you know what I mean? And on your best behavior or whatever, dress a certain way to go into this meeting or that meeting. I mean, that's just, like you said, it's life.
It is.
It's life.
And he is so sensitive, and I don't, man, he's got a great life, Chris, and I don't get it. I remember that guy when he got the MVP award and he thanked his mom and he cried like a baby, I said, man, that's pretty impressive. I was impressed during that time. And he's changed a lot since then.
He also made an interesting statement in the story. And I would recommend that everybody listening, including you, Rob, if you haven't read, I think you did read it, go there and read this story. But he also addresses that, Rob, that, you know, he tires of everybody asking about, wondering if he's happy. You know, he gets tired. And I've said it myself. Like, I've talked about his addiction, if you will, to social media. I'm going to call it that. He probably wouldn't, but whatever it
is. I know what you mean.
His love of social media.
And feeling compelled to have to,
right,
to comment.
And I've said, look, I just wonder if he can be happy reading all the criticism and you know, being on it all as much as he is. And maybe he can be, you know, but my point is, I will say this about him. Even though we can call him sensitive, I got to give him credit in that he does not let whether anger, embarrassment, whatever criticism he's getting from social media or regular media, he doesn't let it impact his game. And Rob,
no.
You and I both rode in New York, and we know there are athletes that go to New York and can't perform to the best of their ability under the New York media.
No doubt about
it. Right. And KD, I know he hadn't been in New York and he will be in Brooklyn, but the media is a little different. It's almost New York everywhere now. I know New York is still a little bit more intense.
It's just because you have more
right.
people. I
and
mean,
the
that's
internet,
what it is.
Internet, you
right.
know, sensationalism has gotten everywhere now.
Right.
You know,
everything's a national story. It's
right,
not like
right.
before.
So he's gotten some intense coverage, obviously. And he is able to go out and still play at the top of his game. So I give him that. But he is, you can't say he's not sensitive. I remember last year we talked about, is he sensitive or is he gangster?
Right.
2 months ago.
I remember
And he would say he's gangster because if you go at me, I'm going back at you, whether you're media, whoever. But the fact that you had the burner account and maybe accounts.
You ain't gangster.
That can't be gangster.
Right, because you were trying to.
That's sensitive.
And let people know that, try to act like it wasn't you when it was.
If
you're like big and bad, you want to stick your chest out and say, it's me, and you know what
right,
I mean? That's what
right,
you would do.
Right, right. So interesting story, though. He also went in, Rob, on Oklahoma City. And, you know, he's spoken favorably of Oklahoma City since he left, but he had a strong quote. He said, I'm just going to read the both quotes. Such a venomous, toxic feeling when I walked into that arena being in Oklahoma City when he was with the Warriors. And just the organization, the trainers and equipment managers, those dudes is pissed off at me. Ain't talking to me. I'm like, yo, this is where we going with this? Because I left the team and went to play with another team. Then he says, I'll never be attached to that city again because of that. I eventually wanted to come back to that city and be part of that community and organization, but I don't trust nobody there. That ish or expletive must have been fake. What they was doing, the organization, the GM, I ain't talked to none of those people, even had a nice exchange with those people since I left.
He sounds so childish.
Man.
He sounds childish to me from this standpoint. He doesn't understand that he walked out on them and that people, how would you feel? And the thing he's talking about coming back to the community. You're not LeBron, like you're from there. He's not from there.
Which is interesting that
right?
he would have went to... You know, at least he says here, and he said it before, he was thinking of settling in Oklahoma City.
How?
After his career.
Does that make any sense?
Well, he had the restaurant. I actually went there several times. The Kevin Durant, KD's, I think it was called.
How was that place?
It was good. It was a soul food restaurant, sports bar.
Was it expensive?
I think it was his mom's recipes. But it was good. It was a nice atmosphere. And, you know, they trashed it when after he made his announcement.
Did they?
Yeah, I don't know how badly, but it was some stuff they did to it. But I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying I don't understand that he would think that people, you know, like you walk out on an organization, and you can call it whatever you want. That's just your right. But he did leave, okay? And the bottom line is, people are supposed to welcome you back, and you didn't win anything there. If you won a championship somewhere, Chris, it's a lot easier. You come back. People feel like, same thing when Kawhi goes to Toronto, they're not going to boo him. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, if KD had won a championship in OKC and then moved on, you'll still cheer him for that great moment. Always.
Well, and I think this is also, and I'm not trying to turn this into let's praise LeBron, and because LeBron's got his things, too, with the media, the passive aggressiveness, some of the cryptic tweets and all that, you know, so he's not perfect. But he, I mean, heck, he's even in more in the spotlight than KD. And he does handle it well for the most part. He really does. He doesn't let the scrutiny, the criticism, and all of that get to him. And I think he's, you know, it's knowing who you are and what type of person you are in the playoffs, he turns it off. You know? And so he does a good job of that. But it's interesting stuff. I mean, very, very good article by the Wall Street Journal. So, again, I would say go ahead and check it out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
It's time for Parker's NFL Power Ranking.
Can you increase your power?
Do you need the power?
Yeah.
Well, here it comes.
Power.
Can you feel the power?
Power.
It's Parker's Power Rankings.
Are we starting with number five?
Number five.
That's right. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh,
don't buy into that 40-26 win over Jacksonville.
Rackle.
Jacksonville's awful defensively, and they lost their quarterback in the first quarter. That's not even, shouldn't even count as a win.
Wow.
That's a false narrative there, thinking that the Chiefs did something special. They still gave up 26 points after they lost their quarterback, so they are number five.
Number four.
That's right. Number four, Wentz in a lifetime. He's back. Carson Wentz, did you see that? They were down to the Redskins early on. It looked like it was going to be a disaster. They were going to lose at home, and he came charging back. If you're an Eagles fan, you got to feel great about where the Eagles are and where Carson Wentz is. He had three touchdowns and no picks.
Number three.
Number three, the New England Patriots.
Wow, I thought they were going to be number one.
Number one? Playing?
Yeah, when you said we're going to be shocked, I thought you might,
No, I'm not that crazy. Again, they're playing the awful Pittsburgh Steelers. They're missing A.B. They're missing Le'Veon Bell. They think that team is going to be the same. They gave everybody a false narrative. Oh, it's addition by subtraction. No, it's not. They look terrible, and Big Ben looks terrible.
Number two.
The Minnesota Vikings. Wow.
Wow. That is a wow. My God.
That was a wow. And if their defense can continue to play well. Remember last year and they got their quarterback. You know what? The Vikings went and did something that I did not think they would do against the Falcons. And I like where they are.
I got to guess who's number one.
Number one.
And number one. You heard that song, Don't Believe the Hype. Believe the Hype. The Green Bay Packers.
I knew it.
Number one.
They have defense. They have a defense. The Green Bay Packers went into Chicago and gave up a three spot. That was it. That is incredible. And let's be honest. They fixed the defense in the offseason. They bolstered it with trades. They picked in the draft. They spent money on free agents. This is not a fluke. They fixed the defense. And Aaron Rodgers said it. Hey, we got a defense. I'm buying it. They are the number one team in my power.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
That's right. Are you sick?
Can I comment now?
Yes, you can.
Rob Parker.
What?
I see that you did not gain an iota of logic in the offseason. My goodness.
What?
This list is atrocious.
I ain't paying for that.
You poo-poo Kansas City beating Jacksonville, But you praise Philadelphia for beating Washington?
They were down big in that game.
Wow. Why? How in the world are you down big to the hapless Washington Redskins?
But the point is they came back and they came charging.
The point is they gave up 380 yards to Case Keenum.
I'm worried about Carson Wentz, and he proved that he could bounce back and play well. And if you're looking at the Eagles, that's the thing that you wanted to see. You didn't want to see him struggle in game one at home against a bad team.
They did struggle.
But he came back. He came back in a big way in the second half.
They shouldn't have needed to come back. Then you poo-poo beating Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's terrible. Did you see that?
But Washington isn't.
Pittsburgh's not going to make the playoffs. They were embarrassing.
And you're going to give Green Bay all that love for holding Mitch Trubisky and crew?
I'm in love with Green Bay.
All week you
give me a glove. I'm in love with Green Bay.
Ever since Sunday, so yesterday's show, all you've been talking about, don't be a prisoner of the moment. And here you go. One game and you're ready to say Green Bay's got the best defense in the league.
Relax.
You're a prisoner of the moment, Rob Parker. Can they prove it a little bit more? I mean, heck, let me be a prisoner of the moment and say Aaron Rodgers is done because he didn't look good on last Thursday night.
Would you stop? This is my power rankings. Don't be jelly.
I know, and I get to critique them.
Don't
That's
be jelly.
Do.
Rob Parker.
Jelly?
Yeah, you jelly on my power ranking because mine isn't a cookie cutter. Alex knows this.
You're darn right about
Alex,
that.
Alex, you know I don't just follow the pack, right?
You do not, Rob.
That's where all those people
That's
follow, right off the cliff.
Every
the
time, you're on the other side.
I'm on the other side.
At 3-7, they were still in your top five.
They were doing special things, but I'll tell you this.
I mean, Rob's 5-0 right now, too.
Hey, I should have been
8-0 last week.
Don't worry about it, Chris. I was 5-0.
You know I'm coming back.
For me, and let me tell you, this week, I already got some good ones. I should have been 8-0. The Lions screwed me. You hear that?
You want to put a wing bet on this pigskin
yep,
pickoff this
let's
year?
Do it.
All right.
No, let's do it on this week. How about this week?
Nah, the whole season. The whole season.
Last
wing
year
bet.
You got lucky. You
Maybe
were like
it
a,
should be something more special.
You were a novice,
than
though.
Just a typical. No.
You know, Chris.
I came in and I shocked you. You thought I only knew NBA.
You know, Chris is like the woman who works in your office who picks the March Madness Final Four. She likes the mascots.
You said that like six times. And it doesn't get any funnier.
It's funnier every time.
By the time.
Kawhi thought it was funny.
That was pretty
no
good.
No way.
Come on.
No, you gave him that DJ Tyshirt.
That was pretty good.
You know I'm coming, Rob. I'm coming hard, and I'm about to go on a roll. What was it, a 17-2 run last year?
Oh, my goodness. We still got to keep
control.
Talking about that.
I'm just saying.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.